I invite you to get your Bibles this morning, if you will, open to the book of Psalms 37. Psalms 37. This morning we're going to be discussing God's care for the righteous. Psalms 37, begin reading in verse 1. It says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off. For those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken." Our Father in heaven, as we again approach thy throne of grace this morning, Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for what it teaches us about how that you care for your own, how you care for the righteous. Lord, I pray that our hearts will be open this morning to receive your word. You know the heart of each individual is here. You know the struggles that each one of us are dealing with. Lord, some of us may be dealing with sin. Some may be dealing with temptation. Some may be dealing with unbelief. But Lord, whatever the need is, we know that we can rest in you. We can find answers in you. I pray, Lord, this morning that you will guide and direct my words, my thoughts, and my heart this morning, that I may only preach the words you'd have for me to say. For it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. This morning I want to begin by asking a couple questions. How many times have you looked upon the prosperity of the wicked with envy? With envy. Although you knew that they had been prosperous through evil deeds, yet there's no evidence of God judging them. I mean, there's no appearance of God ever judging them. In other words, how many of the times have you allowed your mind to, if you will, set sail in uncharted waters in order that you might contemplate over the riches you might could gain if but for a moment you could give in to a little wickedness? How many times have you sought acceptance from the world such that you would be liked in an effort to silence those who stand against you as a child of God? In other words, how many times have you been willing to compromise your stand before your enemy to gain their acceptance of you? Now, I will tell you that all these questions I'm asking, we've all in some way, shape, or form dealt with them. And are still dealing with them, and we will continue to deal with these questions. How many times have you sought the temporal treasures of this world above the eternal rewards of the Lord? In other words, how many times has your heart and your affections been set on acquiring the temporal things of this world above the eternal things of the Lord? In fact, the Lord tells us in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." In fact, we're commanded, if you will, in Colossians 3 and 2, "Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth." How many times have you placed your trust in man above the Lord? How many times have you forgotten that it is the Lord who watches over you and cares for you, as He promised, "I will never forsake you nor leave you"? In our text here in Psalms 37, we're going to see that David persuades children of God to patience and confidence in God, in viewing the state of the godly and of the wicked today and in the future. And in fact, in Psalms 27 and 14, we read, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." And as we started to read here in Psalms 37, there were seven words or seven phrases that really stood out, and they were strongly emphasized in this psalm as stepping stones from doubt to faith. In verse 1, there were the words, "Fret not." Verse 3, "Trust." Verse 4, "Delight." Verse 5, "Commit." Verse 7, "Rest." Verse 8, "Cease." And verse 9, "Wait." Each one of these words, if you study them and you apply them, they will help you in your daily walk with the Lord. In fact, one of the things that we're going to be looking at is these words and what these verses have to say to us this morning. But especially we want to think about this. As we study this text, what is the value of it? What is the purpose of it? And I believe, as Peter very poignantly wrote in 2 Peter 3:18, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." All of us should have the desire, as a child of God, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we grow, we will start to understand what Proverbs chapter 3 says in verses 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." And I will tell you, you will not understand Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 until you start growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This morning we are going to be talking about God's care for the righteous, but we're going to put it in the perspective of the things that we have to deal with the evilness and the wickedness in this world. Look again at verses 1 and 2. "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." So here in verse 1, we're admonished that as a child of God, we're to fret not, or to, if you will, we're to avoid fretting because of evildoers and continual workers of iniquity. And in fact, we should not become envious of them for their seeming prosperity. Now I want to tell you this, is that you will not hear me say that the Lord's desire for our lives is to live in poverty. I never said that. I will not say that. The Lord has children of God at all levels of society. Some have less than others, and we would say that they're impoverished, and they're below the poverty level, if you will. And yet there are those that have excelled and have succeeded in business, and they are at the top of the world, if you will, with regards to what God has blessed them. I will not say anything negative about those that are at the top, nor those that are at the bottom, when it comes to economics. But what I will say is one thing that they both have in common, though, is they both, and remember I used the term, children of God, they all and both have Christ as their Savior. That does not change. How the Lord puts us in certain places in our society, think of it this way, and sometimes we have a hard time understanding this, is that sometimes we're placed in society because that is where God wants us to work. We might not have a lot physically with regards to financial, but our love and how God lets us use what we have, we can demonstrate sometimes much more than somebody that has all kinds of wealth, because we are at the level where we're seeing an individual face to face. As I've shared with you before, we grew up in the sense that we had not a lot of money. You might say that we might have been poor people. I don't know. And our household was very rich. You say, "Well, how was your household very rich?" Because we had love in our household. We had love. We had care for one another. So we were rich, not necessarily with the world's things, but we were rich because of the fact we had the love of God within our home. And you see, that made all the difference. Finances did not make a difference. My dad worked at one time he worked at a place that made donuts. My dad would bring home day-old donuts, and that's what we would eat. In the wintertime, they would sit on the refrigerator out in the cold air in the back porch. You'd have to bring them in. We didn't have microwaves at that time. You would have to put them over something to heat them up, and that's what we ate. And we enjoyed it because it was something that we enjoyed eating. Donuts. My point is that just because, so again, the point I'm making here, the Lord says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, even though that you see that those that are out maybe seeming to get away with everything and anything, and they're being wicked in what they do, the Lord says, fret not because why? Verse 2 says, they soon shall be cut down. The Lord will take care of them. The Lord will render unto them what they have done in their lifetime. And so when we look at earthly prosperity, we look at earthly glory, look at earthly fame, it is a fading thing. Laughter and prosperity without God is vanity and it's mockery. Because it is the Lord who giveth the power to get wealth, to whom gratitude must be returned. And you know, one of the things I think of is that, and why is it the Lord sometimes doesn't, if we're talking about wealth, and we're talking about prosperity, I truly believe that sometimes the reason that God does not give His children wealth is because we can't handle it. We can't. What would happen if somebody came with rolled up to your house with a dump truck full of money and dumped it in your yard? What would you do with it? As a child of God, you might go crazy. Because of the fact is that you would start thinking about what can I spend it on? How can I spend it? Look at all the things I'm going to be able to buy as a result of it. And what would happen is all of your mind would be set upon that. And the Lord would be absent. Oh, I know what you would say, but oh, preacher, that wouldn't happen because here's what I would do. If somebody gave me all of that wealth and all that riches, I'd give to the Lord. I'll tell you, the Lord will be the last one on your list. If we're only honest with ourselves. Because we will only be thinking about what am I going to get out of it? What can I do with it? What more can I embellish my life with? And so my point is that these are the uncharted waters that we go into at times. When we start looking at the prosperity of the world and we start looking at compromising the world so that we are either liked or that we can either attain more because that we have been fretting, and the Lord says that we're to fret not. We're warned that we're not to linger, you know, around the wicked because outward prosperity is fading. And I will tell you, and it's very important as to whom we surround ourselves with. Because I will tell you, if we're not surrounding ourselves with like-minded people, we're going to start thinking like the world does. We're going to thinking about how they're gaining things, and we're going to try to follow after that path. When we look forward, though, we are to be looking with an eye of faith. And when we do, we will see no reason to envy the wicked. Because their end result will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In fact, one of the things is that we need to go back and even quote out of Ecclesiastes 12 and 14. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Proverbs 23 and 17, let not thy heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. In verse 3 of our text, it says, trust in the Lord. So we had fret not, now we have trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So we're to trust in the Lord, and we are to be doing good out of the gratitude of our salvation with assurance that we will be fed. You know, the Lord says this in His Word in Matthew 6:33. In fact, if you read there in Matthew chapter 6, one of the things that you will find there, it says, don't you know that the lilies, they toil, they don't toil, they just stand, and they're what? They're there. The Lord takes care of them. The Scripture says that the birds are fed. In fact, if you've looked out since they've harvested the corn, all of our fields are filled with geese. What are they doing? They're being fed by God. By the droppings that came from the combine that went through to pick out that harvested the corn. They're being fed. God takes care of His creatures. And one of the things though we find is, and then He asks the question, are you not better than they? Are you not much more better than they? Even though that I'm taking care of them, He says, I know your needs of everything that you have than every need that you have within your life. He says, take no thought for tomorrow, because why? Tomorrow will be sufficient. But then He comes back and says this in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, if you do a study of that text, you will find that all of our needs will be met if we seek the kingdom of the Lord. If we seek His righteousness, if we seek after Him, all of our needs will be met. And I will tell you that sometimes the desires of our hearts will also be met. But you have to understand is that what He's really saying here, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Do you realize, I want to change the words just a little bit. I'll take a little bit of license. But we can change it to say that His will be provided in what He gives you. Do you understand? When you seek His will, when you seek to delight yourself in His will, when you seek to delight yourself in His righteousness, then what He will provide to you is what He wills for you, and will always be in His keeping. You see, when we trust in the Lord, we're going to trust that He will provide us what we need. And yes, there are times that even because He is a gracious God, He will provide us the desires of our heart. But the desires of our heart, if we are staying within the keeping of His will, they will be things that will not be counteractive to or counterproductive to His will. Our desires will align with His will, even though they are the desires of our heart. They will align. We won't be asking Him for things that do not align with His will. But He at times does give us the desires of our heart, which are above our needs. Above our needs. Alright? And so my point is, it starts though with trusting in the Lord. Remember, we're talking about God caring for the righteous, or God caring for His own. And the thing is that when we go into those uncharted waters ourselves, and we start trying to mimic what the wicked are doing, because we see them getting rich quick. We see them amounting the temporal worldly things, and we say, I want a little bit of that. Or I want a lot of that. And we set sail on that course. What ends up happening then is that we're not trusting in God, we're trusting in man. We're trusting in our own devices. And I will tell you, and I will tell you this, and I want you to hear me this well, because I think it's for us to understand. As a child of God, I can get rich of my own tenacity. I can get rich of my own desires. I can get rich by learning how to manipulate and work within the system. I can get rich of my own accord financially. I can do those things. But if I'm in disobedience with God, is that it's all me or it's all Satan. Do you understand what I just said? There are those today who say, I'm a child of God, and look how God is blessing me. But I will not darken the doors of a church. I will not be baptized. I will not surrender my life unto Christ. But God is blessing me over here with all the things. How in the world could He not be blessing me? My cupboard is full. My cars are big. My house is huge. My bank account is large. God has to be blessing me. And I'm going to tell you, it is not God who is blessing you. It is you blessing you, or it is Satan blessing you and blinding you, but it is not God. God will not bless disobedience. So when people say that God is blessing me, and they are disobedient of God, they're not serving God, they're not in His house, they're not attending to the things, because God says He receives honor and glory through the church. And when they're not willing to be a part of a local New Testament assembly, we're not serving God through the church, I will tell you, all of that wealth and everything else is not from God, it's from you. Because of your abilities in order to do whatever you do. So we need to be very careful when we say God's blessing, but we're yet following the ways of the wicked to get it. Okay? If God is blessing, and I look at there have been many people who have been children of God. I read it somewhere. Was told that J.C. Penney, you all know about Penney's stores. J.C. Penney decided that he was going to serve God, and he was going to live on 10% and give the 90 to God. And God blessed him. There are people that have done it God's way, and God has blessed them in what they have. Again, Just because, and I don't want you to go out here and say that God is going to roll that truck up to you if you serve Him. And He's going to dump all this money on you. But I will tell you, if you'll serve Him, what He will bless you with is peace, joy, and He says, if you'll humble yourself before Me, I will exalt you. And you need to understand, and I need to understand, the exaltation is, He says, I will exalt you, not just to Myself, but I will exalt you before My Father. Because of the way you served. You see, that's trusting in God, and that's looking at eternal rewards, not on the temporal things. Doing good is an antidote to fretting. Doing good is an antidote. In fact, it says in James 1:22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Look at verse 4 and 5 of our text. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now remember, we're building on what I just said earlier in Matthew 6:33 when it says that we need to delight ourselves in the Lord, follow His will, and then He will give us the desires that are in accordance to His will and His ways. He will give us the desires of our heart. And it says in verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. So, first of all, we must first start from this premise. We are to first delight ourselves in the Lord. If our desire is to walk in His path, to seek after His righteousness, to pattern our lives according to His Word, He will delight in us and He will give us the desires of our heart. Because they will be in alignment. They will be in alignment to His Word. Because they are, our desires are in keeping with His will. James writes this in James 4:3. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. You know, one of the things is that there are many congregations today that are being taught about the social gospel. Name it and claim it. You give $100 and you'll get $1,000 back. You give $10 and you go out in that mailbox and you open it up and there's going to be a big fat check in that mailbox. I'm still waiting for that big fat check. I don't know. It hadn't come in yet, okay? But my point is that we're told these things. Name it and claim it. In other words, you're entitled to it. You're entitled to it. Entitled to what? Things that are going to burn up. Things that are temporal. Things that have no lasting value here on this earth. And that's why He says, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. The life of faith is a believing trust in the Lord. It's diligent care to serve the Lord according to His will. It's not trusting God, but tempting Him if we do not consider our duty to Him. And what does that mean? Why do I work for the Lord? Is it because I have to? Well, there are days, I'm going to be honest, if we're all honest, there are days I have to. I just don't feel like it. I have to. But you know, once you get started in it, praise God that I did it. But let's be honest. The Scripture says our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. We are all subject to, I just don't want to do it. But once you get to doing it, and you get your hands stuck into the work, you get your feet going, your mind going in it, then I'll tell you, then you start praising God over it. But it's sometimes hard to get motivated to get going. We all suffer from that. Every one of us. Me included. So how do I do things? Yeah, there are times I just have to get up and I have to go. Because it's important for me to do it. But once I get into it, I will do it. Gladly. But then there's other times that I serve the Lord and I want to do it. I want to do it. He can't hold me back. I want to do it. Because of the fact I also know it's right and I want to serve Him. In fact, but we need to remember as Ephesians, you know, we quote Ephesians 2:8-9 oftentimes. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we quote that about salvation. The only way to get saved is through trusting in Christ as our Savior. And amen to that, amen? But we forget verse 10. We never quote verse 10. Verse 10 goes on to say, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Well, whose good works are they? His. Created unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So if our life is going to be one that's pleasing unto the Lord, we not only delight ourselves in the Lord, but we commit our ways unto Him and we trust that He's going to lead us in the right path. You see how this works as He's looking upon us, as He's watching over us? I will tell you, a man's life does not consist in abundance, but we'll have food convenient for us. We'll have food convenient And this is more than we deserve. Really, it's more than we deserve. But He said He would take care of our needs. He would take care of our daily needs. He's not promised to gratify the appetites of our body and our desires of the temporal worldly things, but the desires of the renewed, sanctified soul. That's what He promises us. And you see, one of the things when we go and when we look and we understand that the delight in God is just as much a privilege as it is a duty, I praise God I have the opportunity to serve Him. I praise God, you know, as Paul said, I praise God that He has placed me into the ministry to be a preacher. I praise God that He has placed me into this ministry. In some days it's just, I don't want to do it. I'm honest. I don't want to do it. It's hard at times. There's decisions, there's things that you have to deal with. I told Sharon a while back, I said, you know, over the course of my ministry thus far, I said, there are things that I never thought I was going to be asked about. Counseling I was going to have to give. Things that I just never, ever thought, but I found that every time I had a situation that was hard to counsel with, I always found the answer in God's Word. I always found it. There was nothing too difficult. It took me maybe time to research it, but there was nothing ever too difficult because God gave me everything that was necessary in order for me to be able to do what He's called me to do. And I will tell you, He will do the same for you. In every aspect of your life, everything that we have to deal with, that's why He says, trust in Me. So what is the desire of the heart of a good man? It is this, to know and love and serve God. In fact, it says in Matthew 5 and 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I will tell you, if you start depleting your filling of thirsting after hunger or hungering and thirsting after righteousness, if you deplete that filling, you will be filled with something else. You will be filled with something else. You will leave yourself exposed to being filled with worldly things. You will leave yourself exposed to being filled with wicked things. You will be leaving yourself to be filled with temptations of the world if we choose not to be filled with the righteousness of God. And I will tell you that every one of us as children of God, we all should be desiring, as it says there in Matthew 5 and 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. You see, it's not just enough to know the Word of God. It's not just enough to know the Word of God. It's a matter of learning how to live the Word of God. Because then, and that's why it says, Peter says, that we're to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because the more that we grow in His knowledge, the more that we grow in His grace, then we will start to understand when things come into our lives, as Peter records there in 1 Peter 5 and 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Matthew, Jesus says this in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? You see, the Lord says, fret not, but commit ourselves, trust in Him, delight ourselves, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Look at verse 6. It says, and He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. So we're assured with a delightful commitment of our souls and our life to the Lord that He will bring forth one's righteousness to be helpful as the light. And think about this. Are we to be the light of the world? Did He say that there in Matthew chapter 5? We're to be the light of the world. We'll be the salt of the earth. Do you realize that you cannot be the light of the world unless you are what? Committing yourself and your life unto Him. Of service. Do you realize that we have so many people who call themselves Christians that go out in this world and they say, well, I want to shine a little light for Jesus today, but yet they're in disobedience. And I want to go back to that term and I will keep talking about it. Your light will not shine in disobedience. It cannot. Any light that comes from you, any flicker that comes from you is your own output. It's your own output. It's because of the fact is that we are not following after the Lord and keeping in His will. But I will tell you, when we are, then you know what? The promise is sweet. He'll bring that to pass, whatever it is. Whatever we've committed to Him. And you know, at the end of the day, He says in Revelation 22 and 12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Do you realize He rewards us? Our reward is not, we're not looking at it as a temporal reward. It's a reward laid up in heaven. It's a reward that He gives us because we have served Him with our heart and we followed after Him. Look at verse 7. Rest in the Lord. Rest. And wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of Him. You know, when the Lord says something a couple times, we ought to take note. He's used that term several times now. Fret not thyself because of Him who prospereth in His way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. We are to rest. Be silent. Be patient of the Lord. In His will, wait patiently on Him. I will tell you, is that, you know, one of the things we've been in this building program, if I had my will, the building would already be built. But you know, we might be so knee-deep in debt that we would never be able to pay for it. And then what? Who gets the honor and glory then? Well, we built a good building. Can't afford it, got to get rid of it. Who would have gotten the honor and glory out of that? Wouldn't have been God. We wouldn't have. And you know, we would have left a stain on this community. We would, as a church, would have left a stain on this community had we have not followed the Lord. But you see, the Lord has been guiding us. The Lord has been providing for us. The Lord has given us wisdom. Think about what we, as a congregation, know today about this whole program, about this building program that we didn't know 3 years ago. Think about what we know now. Think about where we are now. Think about how that we've prayed together, we've cried together, we've had faith together. As a result, God has opened so many doors and understanding. And He's shown us we're in His will. He showed us we're in His desire for us. And as a result, our desire is in alignment with His will. And He'll provide it in His time period. He'll provide everything that we need, not only to build the building, but to be able to service the debt of the building, because it will be in keeping in His time period. Jesus said this in John 7:17, "If any man will do His will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." And so we're not to fret because of the prosperity of the wicked. Because I will tell you, is that the prosperity of the wicked, or as what Proverbs 24:9 says, the thought of foolishness is sin. And the scorner is an abomination to men. So therefore we are to keep our eyes focused, to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. Look at verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Now I will tell you, we're again called to what? Cease or refrain from any anger. To turn our back on it. Walk away from our wrath. Let these things not live in our lives. In fact, you ought to look at wrath and anger and fretting, you ought to look at those as like having snakes in your bedroom. You ought to look at those things as having rats in your cupboard. You ought to look at those things as having termites in the foundation and walls of your home. When we look at wrath and anger in the things of this world, and we cease not to set them aside, they ought to be just as rats, snakes, and termites in our lives. And ought to be considered that. And sometimes we don't think about those things because why? We don't realize they're destructions. Are snakes destructive? Yes, they are. Are termites destructive? Yes, they are. Are rats destructive? Yes, they are. And when we allow sin, and we allow the wrath, and we allow the wickedness and the things that are our anger to come into our lives, and we start to think about them, we start to dwell upon them, we look at the wicked, we say, how is it they're prospering? How is it that God's not judging them? How is it they're living according to the way they're living and nothing seems to be happening to them? How can they live those lifestyles? How can they just do the things? How can they scam people and get away with it? They're not in jail. They ought to be in jail. Look at our politicians. Why are they still out of jail? They ought to be in jail, the majority of them at times. We look at all these things and how is the world, in the world are they getting away with all of this? And then we what? We start to look at it and we start being angry. I will tell you, I see some of the things that are going on in our politicians and I get very angry, but I have to realize that God is going to judge them. God's going to judge them. Now I can judge them. I can judge them. You can judge them today. You say, well, how can we do that? Go to the voting booth and vote them out. Put somebody in there that's going to follow, be more aligned with the Word of God. That's how we make a difference. But we don't get angry. We don't have wrath. And because when we start to let that come into our lives, I truly believe that sometimes, and I probably ought to preach a message on this, but I'm going to just quote out of Ephesians 4 and 30, starting in verse 30. It says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Do you realize is that as it, when we bottle up our wrath, our anger against other people, and we look at things that are going on, and what ends up happening is that we start to grieve the Holy Spirit. Because remember what I said, if you're not being filled with the will of the Lord and His Word and His ways, you're going to be filled by something. When you create that void of not hungering and not thirsting after the righteousness of God, then what's going to happen is that we're going to be filled with the wickedness of this world. It will rush in. It will come in. It will easily take control and dominate your lives. Now I will tell you this, is that most of what we're talking about this morning is for the child of God. But I will tell you is that without Christ the Savior, Satan already has you. He's got you exactly where He wants you to be. If you haven't trusted with Christ as your Savior, He's not having to spend much time on you. Because why? You're not a child of God. He didn't have to put things in front of you because the thing is, He'll bless you, He'll give you things, He'll keep you what? Those things, those worldly things will become your idol, they'll become your God. Remember what He told Jesus? He took Him up and put Him on the pinnacle. He said, "If you just fall down and worship Me, I'll give you all this land. I'll give you everything if you just worship Me." If you're not a child of God, that's what He's doing to you. He's showing you all the things of this world. You want to live that lifestyle? Do it. Do it. And I tell you what, I'm going to help you do it. Because you see, a reprobate mind will just do whatever you want to do. So, do it. And you know what? I'm going to bless you the more when you get others to not only acknowledge you, but do it as well. That's what Satan is doing. And that's what Satan does to an unbeliever. He exposes the flesh. He shows them the flesh. He shows them, if it feels good, do it. Just do it. Keep your eyes off that Jesus, though. Keep your eyes off that Jesus. Don't talk about God. If you talk about God, oh, it's God. You know, God has no purpose or no sin. He's out there somewhere. It's okay. Just talk about God. Because even the devils believe in God. Just talk about it in a very abstract form. God. God, God, God. Doesn't mean anything. It's just a word. Oh my God. It's just a word. And that's exactly what Satan does to the unbeliever. Don't listen to the fact that you need a Savior. Don't listen to the fact that you're lost in need of a Savior. Don't listen to the fact that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Don't listen to the fact that you need to trust in Him and turn your life to Him. Don't listen to that. Let those people that are narrow-minded over here, that are all caught up in their faith and their narrow-mindedness, and they can't see anything of the world because of their faith. They're just an enigma on our society. Don't listen to them. And that is exactly what Satan is doing to blind people today. We are looking at them and saying, but you see, you need Jesus. You see, when you look out at them in wickedness and wrath and anger, you're not going to see them needing Jesus. You're going to see them as castaways. You're going to see them as no hope people. But how about saying, but wait a minute, you may hate me, but I want to show you someone who loves you. You see, that is trusting in the Lord, being patient of the Lord. That's what we do to refrain our anger and to put our anger, cease from anger, and forsake wrath, and fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Because why? It's because we don't want to give the evildoers any ammunition against us. They're going to have enough ammunition of their own. They just make this stuff up. We don't need to give them something to say, well, I told you so. You call yourself a Christian. How many times have you heard that? You call yourself a Christian. Don't you go to that Cornerstone Baptist church over there. They condone what you're doing. That church is nothing more than a bunch of hypocrites down there. Because they what? They see you outside this building. They see you. They know you. They hear you. They know what you have in your cupboard. You know, sometimes I wonder if the pastor ought to go to more houses in the congregation and open up the refrigerator. What's inside your refrigerator? What's inside your cabinets? Oh, pastor, I didn't want you to see that. You weren't supposed to know about that. Whatever that is. You see? But those same people, they're calling you the hypocrites. They're seeing what's in your refrigerator. They're seeing what's in your cupboard. Because why? You're not hiding it. You're putting it in front of them. And they're partaking of it. You see, all of us need to look at what our lives are doing, how we're demonstrating our lives. How are we walking in the ways of the Lord? And I'll tell you is that when we start to put our thoughts and our minds on the heart, on the way of God, then what will happen is that we will not be content in the temptation because we won't follow the temptations. We'll walk away from them as a child of God. And we'll start to see that what God provides in His will is plentiful for us. Not only for us as working servants, but you know what? For waiting servants. Because as we just read, we're to wait upon Him. We're to wait upon Him. Because the things of God are going to come before us. Look at verse 9 and 10. For the evildoer shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. When you study the Old Testament, especially when you're studying as an example in the book of Isaiah, one of the things that you'll find there is that God always gave them a glimmer of hope. There were things that God told them through the writings of Isaiah and through the preaching of Isaiah. There were things that He told them, the people. He said, there are things that I'm going to bless you with if you'll stay close to me. Just stay following me, trusting me, even though that the rain is going to fall and the justice that does the unjust. They were going into captivity as a nation. Assyria was going to take them into captivity for 40 years. Babylon was going to take them into captivity and they were going to be there for 70 years. But those that were going to stay true to the Lord, He says, but have your eyes fixed on what is coming. First of all, what is coming is the Savior is going to come, number one. Secondly, what's going to come is that there's going to be a time of reunification. In other words, or a time that you're going to be with Jesus face to face, the Messiah. They didn't know His name. They just knew He was going to be called Emmanuel, God with us. But they knew that they were going to see Him face to face, and they were going to be with Him forever. And they knew that there was a glimpse until in that day when He comes. In that day, and you'll see that repeatedly stated, in that day, when Jesus comes back, that they'll be able to be with Him in the new kingdom. In the millennium, when Jesus sets up His reign here on earth for 1,000 years. And so what will happen is that He says that first of all, we need to understand that evildoers are going to be dealt with. But what He points us to and shows us, there is going to be a better day. Evildoers are going to be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. And I started to think about that. What is this inheritance that we're going to have of the Lord? And two things I looked at. First of all, we'll be able to be in the New Jerusalem when Jesus comes and sets up His throne for 1,000 years. We're going to be able to be here, and there's going to be perfect harmony and peace within the Jerusalem. Now, outside the walls of Jerusalem, there's going to be chaos still going on. The wicked are still going to be here, but we will be within the framework of being with Jesus. And then what will happen is this, is that in one day, Scripture says, as John writes, that I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the old heaven and the old earth were what? Burned up. And we'll have an inheritance in the new earth. Being able, and what I mean by that is that we'll just be able to be there free. No boundaries in the sense of you can't go this place, you can't go that place, because there won't be those boundaries. We'll be able to move from to and fro as we please. We'll have to worry about, beam me up, Scotty. I want to go somewhere, I'm there. You want to go somewhere, you're there. Just be able to move around freely. Thank God for that. Walls won't keep you in. Go through the walls. Says we're going to have a body like Jesus. Amen. Did He appear and disappear? That's the way we'll be able to do. Body like Jesus. You see, that's what we have to look forward to. But He says, verse 10, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. They shall diligently consider His place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. What do we have to look forward to? The abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. And notice what the Lord is going to do. He says, the Lord shall laugh at him. Talking about the wicked. For he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter their own heart and their bows shall be broken. You know, the Lord is going to have His day and His say. It says that all are going to come before the Lord. There's going to be two times that we find in Scripture in Revelation, there's the judgment seat of Christ that the righteous will come before. The righteous will receive their rewards. The righteous, whether it be crowns, whether it be whatever, the treasures, they're all going to be provided as to what you did as a child of God here on this earth. That's what He's going to provide us. What we did, how we lived our lives, what was our attitude. Did we serve God because we praised God for its salvation, or we serve Him because we just thought we had to all the time? We did it out of duty. I'll tell you, if it's not out of a heart of love, then there's not rewards in that. It's got to be out of a heart of love. And we know that when He comes back to that judgment seat of Christ and He's going to judge us, and He says, you know, the last will be first, the first shall be last. In other words, He's going to exalt those He's going to exalt. Those that we might have thought, you know, I cannot say that every preacher is going to be first or last. Some of them are going to be in the middle. But every layperson is going to be the same boat. First, last, in the middle. Because of what? It was their service unto God. Their service unto God. But you see, it starts with, we start looking at, fret not, trust, delight thyself, commit, rest in the Lord, cease from anger. And I will tell you, and then wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord for His goodness. And I will tell you, as a result, the Lord's going to reward us. I praise God that He takes care of us now. Amen? I don't see of us any right now hurting from hunger. That's because of God. That's because God is taking care of you. That's because He's providing for you. And praise God for that. But you see, let us not just put our thoughts and our concern about what's on our table. Let's start looking beyond ourselves. The Lord wants us, He says, you are my workmanship. I created a good work in you, and I want it to flourish. And one of the things that I see that He wants to flourish within us is this. He wants the fruit of the Spirit to be born from us. You see, the fruit of the Spirit, the seed, the very moment that you trusted in Christ as your Savior, the fruit of the Spirit was planted within you. The problem is that for many children of God, all there is these leaves that are pointing out. They're just leaves. Leaves of Christianity. I'm a child of God. I do a little bit here, I do a little bit there. But what's absent from many children of God is fruit. Love. Joy. Peace. Long-suffering. Do you realize that out of that fruit of the Spirit, there are some things that are applied directly to the individual, but there's also equally many things of that fruit that is for the other person. Until we start to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are not going to understand fully how to trust the Lord in all thy ways, acknowledge Him in all of our paths, lean on Him for understanding, understanding that His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, His ways are higher than our ways, until we start to trust in Him. We stop looking at what the world is doing and start realizing the world needs Jesus. And the world might stop doing some of the things it might doing if they would find Jesus. Well, how are they going to find Jesus? He says, you're the light of the world. You're the city that's set on the roof, up on the hill. You're the city that's set up on that hill. Do they see your light, or have you put a bushel over it that no one can see? Do they know that you love them? Or are you just a walking machine? For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. You're a sinner in need of a Savior. Trust in Jesus, He'll save you. Is that all they ever hear of you? Or do they hear about a deep care for them? That you want to find out about them. That you love them. And then you introduce them to Jesus. You see, if that's our attitude, we will do a service more in that manner than out of duty. Duty is just quoting the Romans Road. I hope it sticks. Love is spending the time to talk to them. When we start spending the time to talk to them and caring for them and praying for them, then I will tell you what will happen. The fruit will start to come forth. Oh, they may kick and scream and moan and complain. I don't want to hear what you have to say. That's okay. I'm going to keep praying for you. I'm going to keep standing for the Lord. I'm not going to go away. I'm here because I care about you. You see, when we do those things,
that we're trusting in the Lord. So I'll ask you this morning, where are you in your service? Are you fretting because of what you see? Are you waiting? Are you committing your life? Are you trusting your life? If you haven't trusted in Jesus, today is to be the day of salvation. But if you are a child of God, are you trusting and waiting and delighting in Him? Let us stand as our musicians come for a hymn of invitation this morning. Father in heaven, as we come to the close of this study, we just thank You so much for what Your Word has taught us, and especially how You love us so much. You want the best for Your children. But Lord, we as Your children need to learn to seek Your kingdom first and Your will. And all these things shall be added. But Lord, we do pray for one in our midst that understands their need of salvation. That Lord, that they would trust in Your Son today. Maybe there's other decisions. Maybe baptism, uniting with this assembly. Surrendering our lives in obedience and a greater call into Your service. Whatever the need of the hour is, may we attend to it at this time. For it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen.